have to step out at some point during the meeting, so
there
what
we are.
Can do to get the recording is very helpful.
I just got it going. I just heard it.
Okay.
I must only hear it on my end. All right, so meeting is called to order at 8:36 p.m. Kim Laird, Chair, is present. Kevin Axell?
Present.
Matt Hall? Is absent. Richard Kennison?
Present.
Dave Pawson?
Present.
Tom Wall? Is absent. Aaron Stevens?
Present.
Brandy Axtell?
Here.
Mike Sullivan?
Here.
And Marilyn Sullivan?
Here.
And Martin Frost, I did not hear. Okay, so he's not here right now. We need someone to move the approval of the agenda for tonight.
I'll move to approve the agenda.
And a second, please.
I will second.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Or I'm sorry, are any additions or deletions or corrections? If not, anyone opposed to the approval of the agenda? Any abstentions? The agenda is approved. We need a motion to approve the minutes from the August 17th meeting.
Did those get sent out?
They were posted on the website.
Oh.
If no one read them, we can just table that.
I did not.
Okay.
I read them.
Do you guys just want to table it until next time?
Let's table it. I didn't read them either.
Okay. All right. So anyone opposed to tabling the approval of last month's minutes? Any abstentions?
Do we have to make a motion?
Yeah, if you want to make the motion to table. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's been one of those weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
Motion to table someone. Okay, Aaron's got that. Second to table.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay. And anyone opposed? Any abstentions? And that's that. Okay. And I have not gotten the July 20th one's done yet, gang. I apologize. I have the CD. I just have not had the chance to go through it. But they were posted publicly already. The video was on YouTube. So we'll have to go through and we'll approve those later. On to the report, 2011 Fest. Mike, is there anything more on the 2011 Fest, or should that start to be taken off of the reports?
I think it can be taken off now, Kim. We're just awaiting Holly's P&L statement, which I think should be due any time now.
Okay. All righty. How about anything on future festivals? Mike did send us a report on that.
Yes, and just to add to what I wrote, I have before me now a book of listing over 400 colleges and universities in every single part of the United States and Canada that could potentially host an IJA festival. And you can name a city and state, and there's a chance, a good chance, that there's a institution there, a college or university, that would host us. All that's stopping us from going that way is some direction from the board on where and what kind of festivals do we want to have. When I went to the Connect Marketplace reverse trade show last month in Chicago, I was absolutely overwhelmed with interest from cities and venues all over the country who would be happy to host the IJA. So we have no shortage of kinds of facilities and places to hold our festival. But rather than waste their time and waste our time, I'm looking for some direction from the IJA board on what part of the country and what kind of festival we want to have and what kind of facility. And that's really all that's holding us up and moving forward for 2013 and beyond.
Excellent. Well, right off the top of my head, Mike, I'd love to see a major West Coast city with at a university with the type of situation that you described at Bowling Green. Regardless of where it is, I think that dormitories and meal plans are a major plus.
Right.
So I think wherever you look, that's a great, you know, starting point. But,
In the last few days, Kevin, I've heard from UC Berkeley, UCLA, UC San Francisco, University of Oregon at Corvallis, University of Washington, and University of California, San Diego.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
You can go anywhere you want, but still we get people to show up. I mean, there's no limit to the places we could go. We just got to decide where and what, you know, when.
Cool.
San Francisco being a big draw for people in the Bay Area. There's a huge scene, and Berkeley as well, either one. And also, I mean, just international people, it gives people a reason to want to go there other than just the juggling festival.
San Francisco campus would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, if there was a cost difference between San Francisco and Berkeley, you know, you're going to get the same people attending for the most part. But ideally, it would be a San Francisco. I mean,
or either way, yeah, but whichever, because, I mean, Berkeley is so close. Either one, yeah, if there's a big cost difference, that's, yeah, something to take into consideration for sure. But I'd look at both of those pretty strongly.
Well, I'm happy to pursue any of these, but I'd like to do so with some direction from the board that once we find a place that is reasonable and wants us, that we would go ahead and book a festival there because, as I say, there's no shortage of them, but I think it's up to the board to decide if we would get the kind of attendance that we really need from either a
Matt Hall
or a festival in any other location, including college campuses in the Midwest or East.
Well, Mike, I'd be interested in knowing a college in St. Louis or St. Charles.
Yes. Well, in fact, the city of St. Charles has contacted us, and Washington University St. Louis has also been in touch with us, where we were in 91.
Yep.
Mike, I also think you're asking us, though, not just where, but what type of festival do we possibly need to change to? Are we still going to keep a 5 or a 6 day festival, or do we need to scale back? Is that what, in part, what you're asking as well?
Yeah, because right now I'm telling all of our prospective venues to quote us for a festival like the ones we've been having the last 5, 6, 7 years, which is juggling space, lodging, theater, and obviously with restaurants and so on close by. And I've told them that if you're a college or university, that'll work fine, but we still need a theater.
Right.
If, you know, we can go back to the kind of festivals IJA had, which I think are a lot less desirable, but may be a financial necessity in the future, where we don't have a theater and we just have a stage built in a gymnasium or in a ballroom. And, you know, my own personal feeling is that's not as professional and not as high a production value, but maybe financial necessity requires us to go that way from now on. So, you know, if the board can think about this and decide, I can give a lot better guidance to these facilities and get a more concrete quote on whatever it is we're looking for. And I can assure you that we can find anything that you want. There are so many venues out there of all kinds, not just cities, but universities and private conference centers that would want to have us in any part of the country, all the way from Maine to Southern California. All we've got to do is pick one.
I would say at this point, I know, I mean, this is just discussion, but I think sticking with the format that we have at this time and looking at the difference in cost compared to doing it at a, say, a hotel or a resort type setting, because I think ideally, at least from my perspective, that's what I would prefer to continue with, is this form of festival that we have currently, same number of days with a nice theater for the competitions and shows. And if a college can provide that for a cheaper price, that's a great benefit as well.
And I agree with you, Aaron. The one question that does come to mind, and I don't even know, I don't have the answer to this, and I don't know if any of you do, is, you know, in Rochester, we had a, you know, there are several juggling festivals out that way that got a much higher attendance than what we got for the IJA Fest. And I would love to know why those jugglers didn't show up for IJA.
Cost of festival, maybe? And that's another thing with college campuses, the cost of the festival.
But what about, you know, are they saying particularly the registration cost? Is it just the transportation and housing cost? You know.
To a young person, it's usually not so specific. It's just they know it's going to be several hundred dollars. That's all they need to know.
Yep.
I mean, aside from the situation that developed in Rochester, it would seem like the model for years has shown that a week-long festival can be profitable. That, I mean, for all the problems we have to deal with, that doesn't strike me as one of them. I don't see anything screaming to change the bigger picture format of the festival.
I think we can keep the same format and reduce our expenses. Mike, would you agree that going to a college campus, we could have a theater, we could keep our same format and save money?
I think the cost would be the same or less, Kevin, but what we could offer the attendees would be a greatly reduced week in that their lodging would be a lot less and their food would be a lot less.
You know, I mean, I think we all need to agree, obviously, but I think pursuing a Bay Area campus that if it was, you know, comparable or less to what we've paid in the past, I think it would be a good move. I do think we should look into and that the board should approve for you to look into more. Maybe we could generate a list of, 10 areas we'd like to see specific reports from, something like that.
Also one on the East Coast. I would love to – I know I heard that a lot at the festivals, that there hadn't been one really on the East Coast for a while. Upper East Coast.
Winston-Salem is.
Right, Upper East Coast.
Upper East Coast, yeah. And I know that Vermont,
a big hub.
There was a place in Vermont that showed interest a few years back, but they admittedly were too small for us at that time. But they may be perfect now because it was a culinary school.
Yeah.
Would have been awesome.
Do you think it is a good thing to take into consideration of how appealing the area is to out-of-towners and out-of-countryers as well as far as our international attendance goes? Just, I mean, not that anyone leaves the gym, but if it's like an extended trip or something like that, they're going to care more about the location. And
I like Mike's. Go ahead, Dave.
It has certainly struck me that we don't seem to tend to have these in prototypical destination cities.
Right.
You know,
true.
Before I was quite so invested, I certainly was a mindset like, well, I've never said to myself, boy, I've always wanted to see Rochester, Minnesota.
Right.
And
it was a lovely town.
It turns out to be perfectly nice, but I wouldn't otherwise have gone out of my way to go there. And I assume the reason we didn't typically do destination cities was because they tend to be more expensive.
Right.
But if the move to college campuses enables that, then maybe that's something to revisit. And San Francisco is a perfect example. You may
well
get people who say, well, I've wanted to go to San Francisco, so here's the opportunity.
Well, it sounds like what we need to do is kind of get a list together, a couple cities from each of us, and have Mike pursue it from there.
Could we?
Well, let me take the opposite idea for now, Kim, and say the IJA's information has been sent out in the form of a sales lead to many hundreds of institutions like colleges and universities who are clients of this meeting planners network, let's call it. And over the last 2 weeks, I have gotten dozens, literally dozens of inquiries of cities that are or venues that are interested in us. Why don't I make a list of the institutions that have expressed interest in us, send it out to the board on Board Plus, and just take everyone's temperature on that.
That sounds
great.
Yep, sounds perfect.
Get from that the list of places that we want to follow up with.
Sounds perfect.
Yep.
Mike and everyone, also under future festivals, just so everyone is aware, we do currently have a signed contract for the year 2014 with Winston-Salem. I am presently trying to either get that rescinded entirely or moved to a different year. We needed to tell them before this year's fest that we weren't coming if we weren't going to come. So as of right now, if we back out of the agreement and they don't like that, then we owe them 25% of whatever we would have spent there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm at the very least, I'm trying to negotiate with them at this time to move it out to a totally different, like 5 years apart from this year, so like 2017, instead of being so close. But and Mike, any help you can give there would be appreciated. I only talk to them only because, you know, we had said to get out of that contract, but it doesn't seem like they're going to.
All it takes for us to walk away from that now is just a one-page letter from me or you, Kim. We want to exercise our option, and they will then immediately come back to us with a revised proposal for whichever year we want to ask them for.
Yeah, it sounds like what I'm hearing from Kim is in direct conflict from what Mike had said earlier. And I said we can pull out up until July of 2012 with no.
It was a total of two complete years prior.
Yeah, so to give them, to treat them fairly, we should do it as soon as we know that we don't want to be there in 2014, which I presume is about now.
Well, the problem is, Mike, they need it to know by, oh, wait, no, you're right. You're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's two years prior to that contract year. So, yeah, we should still be able to get out without a problem.
Okay.
My mistake.
There's no penalty. We're easily able to get out of that today just sending them a letter.
Okay.
And explain the situation to them and then tell them, you know, why don't we talk about 2016 and 2017, and maybe they'll probably send us a contract back for that year.
Okay. Do you want to take care of that, Mike, or?
Yes, I can do it. Or
okay.
I don't know if Matt's been in contact with anyone from there yet, but he would tell them about that.
I haven't talked to Winston-Salem yet. So far, Kim has been negotiating with them as far as the food minimum goes and the minimum rooms go. That, in my mind, is primary because that is the fest we are going to in 10 months. And I don't want to spend $10,000 on food that I don't have to spend.
I did speak with them today about that, Matt, so we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. That's another agenda item.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Anything more in future fests?
No, that's all I've got.
Okay. So
you're going to send out the list again, right, Mike? And it would be great, I think.
Probably middle of next week.
Okay. Just to put some kind of deadline on that for when you want to hear back from us by. Would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Actually, can I make one more question there? When we talked last month about 2013, I think when we had come out of that, there was a general sentiment that people would like to hear more details about Des Moines. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we talked about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm speaking to you from Des Moines. I arrived here today. And I'll be visiting all of the venues tomorrow, but I can tell you already that I don't think this is going to be suitable. The closest hotel is about three times as far away from the juggling space as Rochester was, maybe four times. It's quite a walk. And in the other direction, there's really nothing to eat. There's no restaurants around the hotel. So I think those two right there are deal breakers for us. I think Des Moines is just too big a city for us, and they're used to much bigger conventions where they don't have to worry about people walking everywhere like they do at our convention. And so I think the distances are just too great downtown to be attractive for us. So I would say, even without finishing the visit tomorrow with the folks here, that it's probably not going to be a good recommendation for Des Moines.
Thanks.
Okay, anything else on future festivals for Mike?
San Francisco.
And then that's funny.
Once you hear from us, are you able to get bids pretty quickly from places? Just because I know, like what you said in your last post to our email to us was that you do need. And obviously we need to decide on 2013 pretty quick, I think. So.
Yes.
And we're you're going to continue to look at 2013
within a week or so. And I say they can probably get us a bid. All of these places are able to send us a bid based on our specs within about a week. And then the next step would be for us to have some local juggler in the area make a preliminary site inspection.
Yeah, and so, nice thing about the Bay Area is we've got folks there.
Right. So if we've got people in the Bay Area, you know, we would ask them to go and visit with the folks at UC Berkeley, for example, and look at all the facilities and see if it's actually going to be a good fit or not before we move forward.
Cool.
Dave and I could go anytime.
Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yeah, I'm in.
Or Matt and Matt and
Dave. Yeah, or Bay Area.
No, not Matt. No.
That's true, given my track record.
True.
But the one thing you should also know is that Slammin' Andy Peterson and I had already talked about the possibility of just running a regional fest in the Bay Area, because now he's based out here. So he would also be a good person to put to work on this, because I know he's down.
Okay.
So is that about it for Future Fest then? Alrighty. Matt, I know you're not officially in the position as far as vote, but anything on the 2012, I can share with you and with everyone else. I have been in contact with Janice Wright at Winston-Salem about the two issues that we talked about, the room night as well as the $10,000 food and beverage minimum. And the person that I need to talk to has not been in the office this week, but she has my contact information and will be in touch. Because Janice Wright is actually our event person, our event contact person that you'll talk to about
everything
else and stuff. I have to talk to the woman in the sales department.
But there's somebody else to talk to at the theater, yes?
And the theater is a whole other person to talk to. Yep.
Okay, I've got that information from Mike.
Okay.
So, I'm rolling down here. So, forgive me, but on the agenda that I'm looking at, where are we exactly? Like, we jump from future festivals and then.
Yeah,
I
didn't even put in the 2012 Fest, so I just wiped out the 2011.
Okay, and that's fine.
But we can still talk about it. That's Future Fest.
2012 is in the future.
In the future.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So, and what I say now will also bears on Motion A, Motion C for me. But here's where I'm at. One, I haven't done much. That's the first thing I have to admit, and for which I have to apologize. But two, I'm poised to make some good moves, and really it's down to the budget and down to how much money I can spend. And when I say how much money I can spend, primarily I'm talking about VIP guests. I've had more than 25 different world-class artists write me. Not me writing them. They wrote me and said, I want to be a part of this festival this year. And there's a few names. Wes Peden, Patrick Elmert, Alan Sulk, bounce juggler. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeton the juggler, Pavel Yukovich. Mm-hmm. All right, it goes on and on. EAEO, Sean Gandini, Katia.
Yes. Sorry.
Right. So look, Dan and I have been bouncing these names around. We've got this huge list. Obviously, we're going to have to pick some of them, a few of them. Right now, we ideally would like to get Pavel as our headliner.
Yes.
We'd like to get Sean and Kati as the Award of Excellence winners.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
We want Eric Bates, Cigar Boxes, Trespass. That's Roman and Metro Nella for Diablo. And then last but not least, Alan Sulk for Bounce. And then EAEO, which is a group of four guys, Jordan and Sander de Kuyper, also Eric Longell, and Bram Dobelaer. These are the guys who headline EJC 2010 in Finland, and then again at Israel last year. I was with them. I was with them, actually, in Britain and in Israel. So that's nine people. Most of them coming, you know, Eric's coming from Canada, and then Pavel, depending on where he is, from, you know, not from Russia, obviously, but we're talking some money here right now just to put these people up and get them here. If we can't do that, then I want to start cutting and start making moves. But really, I need to know how much money I've got to spend.
Well, and that's, like I told you, Matt, in the past, it's always been the fest director that brought a budget to the board. And it's not a bad idea to switch that model around a little bit. But it's usually, honestly, it's based on what's coming in at the time. And maybe that's part of our problem, that when we plan a fest, it's based on registrations as they come in rather than what we've already got around.
Yeah, maybe part of this is my ignorance of the process, because that's the first time I've done it. But for example, right, If I have confirmation from Pavel that he wants to come right now, I want to buy him a plane ticket right now.
Right.
Whose money do I use? Do we even have the money to purchase that ticket? I'm not putting it on my credit card.
As of right now, with things being as tight as they are, I'm not sure if we would have the money to purchase that ticket right now, immediately. Now,
do you see what I'm getting at? Like, that,
yeah.
We can't invite anybody, because I'm not going to promise people things that we can't do.
Right.
I know we promised them what we got.
Put a budget together, Matt. I think that could be the best way to see how much it would cost for the ideal festival that you're envisioning, and then seeing how realistic that is.
I think we overspent this year on people, inviting people, paying their fare and hotels. I think we way overspent this year.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons why we had a loss.
We did.
That accounts for most of our loss, and all of those people were booked and planned to come based on normal attendance of 500-600 jugglers.
That's not normal attendance, and I think that was a mistake. I was disavowing that idea early on, but normal attendance the last few years has been 300 or 400. So you know, I know that you hoped that Rochester would bring in a lot of people, and it brought in a bunch of jugheads. That's about it. I would just like to say that I think people will come to the festival if you have a few stars. You don't need to have 10 stars coming. If you have, we used to have one, and then, you know, it might be a Russian or whatever, but then, you know, people who were not expensive to bring, who were either free or very inexpensive to bring, filled in the rest of the show. And the rest of the festival. People,
well, exactly. Dan and I have talked about that, in that the history of the IJ has been basically filling out the Cascade of Stars with people who were at the fest.
Right.
And I don't want to make a decision without your guys' guidance and without your input.
Hello, Ted? Hello?
I'm here.
Hello.
I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I was just checking. This is Kevin. A couple things. One, Matt, maybe you could do some quick estimates, obviously not exact numbers, but give kind of a 1-2-3 type thing. Like if I had my way, or, you know, if you had your ideal budget, what is it? And then second, and then, you know, low case scenario, and what that equals. This means this many people, this means these people, this means that people. Even if it's not exact and perfect, we can get an idea and maybe therefore help give you an idea, because obviously it's extremely important that you get a sense of your budget. And then along the lines of performers, I think we do need to reduce the performer cost a little bit. I think a big name or two or three at the most, like Wes Peden, you know, that's one person. In certain efficiency things, like flying four people from Europe, exponentially more. And when and where we can, getting people that can do multiple shows. And then we can maybe even treat them better. Like if we had Wes and Sean and Kathy, you know, a few single or duets, we could treat them really well. And those are just a few thoughts that popped in my head. That's all.
Another piece that I was thinking is I had a nice long shuttle ride with Dan. And one thing he had said is when he planned for all those special guests coming in, he had thought that perhaps some of that money, or had been under the assumption that a part of that money would be coming from the $20,000 from Iwi.
Right. From
and then that changed, and he didn't get anything towards that. And so that's where that many guests were planned based on that that guess. So either looking, you know, once the fund's figured out too, and that's another thing we should start talking about, because who's going to be on that next fund thing, looking at what that's going to go towards. I know that was the first thing I heard when it was awarded, was to bring in some really cool guests. You know, we could use that money to bring in some really cool guests, that and to potentially raise prize money, which would also bring in a lot more competitors potentially. Just a thought there is, you know, if we do want to bring in a couple of really awesome people, seeing if the fund could be a resource for that.
And Aaron, I was going to bring that up too, about, you know, maybe one of the guests could come from the EWE fund money. And then we have two or three others that the IJA brings in. The other thing, Matt, that I had emailed you about was possibly getting some help from Winston's
the Art Council, the fund.
Grant.
Yeah, the grant.
Yeah. So I have talked with them, and they're looking for money for us right now. That takes a little bit of time, but they are looking to see what they can give us. So even if the town of Winston-Salem, even if the town itself does that, if they sponsor one of our special guests and the EWE Fund sponsors another one, and then we bring in, as I said, two or three more, that brings us up to five big people. But the IJA is actually only paying for three of those.
Bravo. Well said.
Hey, Matt, this is Richard.
Go for it.
I think one of the benefits, you were just speaking about our regional fest. I love Wes, but we've seen him really recently at the IJA. Mm-hmm. And I think Alan and Pavel are the two guys that haven't been in regional fests in America. And could really, you know, have people coming to see them. I love Eric Bates, and he'll be cheaper, and he does his own thing, which is cool. But for sure, Pavel and Alan are two jugglers Americans haven't seen, per se. That's just my thought about who to choose there, if you had to choose one or two or three. But
I'd also say the Gondinis, just because I
and the Gondinis. And what I like about that, I agree with that. And what I like about that is we're giving them an award, so maybe that. You know, can mitigate some of the cost, or I don't know, but
some of the cost definitely can mitigate some of the cost. They also do workshops and multiple performances. I think the Gandini should be at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And the IJA hasn't seen them for a number of years, so that's all good.
Right. Yeah. No. You guys are all speaking my language for sure. Because Dan and I have vetted these people in terms of what they can offer the show in terms of pure minutes. Right, Pavel's great, but he's only going to do 8 minutes. That's all we get.
Yeah, but it's a killer 8 minutes, so, I mean.
No, I get it, but you see what I'm saying?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Sean and Kathy, on the other hand, Kathy's got two solos, Sean's got his solo, they've got their duo, and they've got any other stuff that they want to do from their project that they can teach to others or bring in, not And when I say bring in, meaning they could literally teach us to jugglers who are there and do another act, you know. Their prime numbers act, it can spot in an hour.
It could potentially be the special workshop. I don't know if you've all got a special workshop yet, but
yeah,
Gummies could be amazing at that.
There. You know, in terms of pure minutes, and also in terms of price, it's kind of like you get most for most.
Right.
EAO has Eric Longell, who's one of the Mad French Posse. He's got his solo Diablo act and solo ball act. Then you've got Jordan Sanders and Brahm, all who have solo acts. As the four of them have their hour-long show, Bram and Jordan have their hour-long comedy show, which also headlined at EJC in 2008 in Germany that I saw. So you bring in four guys, you got three-plus hours worth of shows just from those four guys plus workshops. And they're another group that nobody's seen on this
right.
side of the pond.
I agree. And if they put on a special workshop, the money that we, you know, they earn from that could help go towards, you know, the big picture of what they're making by coming.
Right, exactly. And most people that I've talked to, you know, at this point I haven't promised anybody anything. I basically said, look, whatever your normal fee is, you're not going to get it. That's a gift. You know, we usually invite people for expenses only. That is the past practice. And I think some people are going to hear that and some people aren't. You know, but once again, we choose Pavel. Okay, Pavel's our guy. He's our number one guy. I submit my budget tomorrow, and Pavel says, "Hey, Monday, let's do this plane ticket." What happens then?
Right.
How about we say we schedule them for it and that we'll buy the plane ticket as when we can. I mean, I don't think it has to be done Monday, you know. They usually aren't the ones specifying when it's going to happen. Obviously, we want to buy it earlier rather than later. But
I don't know how much this happens, but the one hard lesson I learned doing Sparks and arranging the flights and all, the further in advance that I booked a flight, the more times I was having to rebook it because they got a gig here or they got a gig there. You know, our headliner that year, I had to rebook his flight four different times.
And that's a cost each time, yes?
Yeah. So it's not necessarily a good thing to get the ticket now if they may have a chance of getting a gig the week before that's in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not flying out of where they said they were going to.
That and also.
So just for my clarification, so is it common practice and past practice to we invite all these people, we confirm what we want to give them, and then we wait until pre-reg money flows in to actually purchase the Cascade Stars show folks plane tickets and such?
I waited until around April to start, so about 3 months out, and registration opened in, I want to say, February 1st.
So basically that time between February and April, whatever money came in there, you used that, or am I missing something?
Yep, that's what I did.
Another thing I was just thinking of is visas and looking and making sure people have visas before booking tickets. I know that what happened with some of our performers, I think. They didn't have their visas, and I just heard something today that you can only book 90 days in advance for a visa or get a visa for 90 days in advance or something like that. But that's just something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, there's actually a website that, his name's escaping me now, and Tim First,
yeah, I talked to him about the visa issue as well.
Yeah, because he was very concerned that we were out of compliance with that, so...
Well,
did he give you that website,
information,
Matt?
On visas?
If Pavel says, you know, says, okay, great, boom, let's do it, I think you can, Matt, I think you can tell him what Kim just said as kind of a courtesy. You can tell him, well, in the past, professionals like yourself have had to reschedule and leave things, so our target date for your ticket is, or not even target date, to give him more confidence. Your ticket will be purchased on, give him a date. And that seems, you know, it feels like a professional courtesy to his career more than it is a delay in the ticket.
Yeah, I can't say if I feel comfortable giving him a date or giving him a target by which I will purchase his ticket if, in fact, I may not be able to purchase his ticket by that date. And all that's dependent upon the pre-reg numbers, which I can't control.
That and also the grant money potentially coming in and the other one. What was the other one? Oh, yeah, fund.
Well, the fund money does come in December. So if the fund committee decides that, you know, one of our VIPs comes out of that fund, then you would have money for, like, your number one person or number two person, whichever you would want to use it on, depending on how the committee voted on that. But that comes in December.
Which brings up another point. In terms of fund committee chairmanship, I don't know if I should be the chair, since I'm also the festival director. Yeah, that might, I don't know, is that a conflict of interest? I mean,
yes.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
So.
Oh, I think just like Mike did, you should absolutely sit on the fund.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you should be chair.
So who's going to take that?
Well, everyone says I'm really, really fun, so I don't know. I'd put my hand up there for it.
Kevin?
That could be great.
Well, Kevin, you weren't on it last year. Dave was on it last year, and I know, yeah. We've got people from last year who certainly have expressed interest to do it again. We've got new people who've expressed interest. We might even have our first female fun committee member, Megan Newitz.
That's important.
I might be Nowis or
Newitz.
Okay. Yeah. So she's
that would
interested.
Also be like our first person under 30.
Exactly. Like two, we get the twofer. So that would be nice.
I bet you anything you make an announcement on RecDot about it again or on the Facebook page or anything, and we have a lot more people interested this year.
Yeah, right.
Folks do, I would guess.
And that's a different conversation, but I just want to kind of, because I want to get that started.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we got to get that started so we can figure out what we're going to do with the money.
Yeah.
And then we'll need somebody to liaise with IWE, to see if he or she is open to, you know, broadening the, you know, the scope of the fund. I mean, last year we used some of the money for performers. That's true. So that's a precedent that's been set. But we don't know what the dollar limit is, you know. 5,000 last year was 3,000.
Okay.
And then last but not least, as far as the motion C, my feeling is such that the 9,000 at this point is too much, and partly because I want to see the people at the festival that I want to see, and you know if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to try and kind of make my vision happen, then I need to sacrifice for it. So put it at 5, and the other whatever savings over 5 are created by that go towards VIP guest expenses.
Awesome, Matt. That's awesome.
That's great.
Thank you.
And then, of course, the 5 would be paid. I mean, once again, I know in the past it was paid in a quarterly way, but then I know we can't do that because of our current financial situation. So I'm happy to wait until the end of the festival and until all festival expenses have been paid. And then if there's 5,000 left, then I get paid. And if there's not, I guess I don't.
You're awesome, Matt.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's being fair to Matt to have him put a full year's worth of work at risk if we don't make money, and a lot of that is out of his control. We could have a terrorist event a week before the festival, and nobody comes for no fault of IJA or of Matt, and then we're not going to pay him for a year of work?
I think if something extreme like that were to happen, we would reevaluate the situation. We're all good friends with Matt. We wouldn't let that just sit as such.
Well, and part of this is self-serving in the sense, as a festival director, if I'm doing this and quote unquote, you know, sacrificing, I still don't look at it that way. I see it merely as, you know, when you love something and you want to do it, it doesn't matter what the cost is. I'm not in this certainly to make money per se. But also so that in terms of philosophically, you know, when I go to people and say, hey, I need you to do X or I'd like you to do Y, but I can't comp you for that, or I can't do, you know, I can't offer you what you've been offered or what you've been expecting. And they say, hey, come on, you know, I'm just going to say, look, the gravy train is gone. And, you know, and that's not to say that there's been this largesse and that there's so much fat to trim. I don't think there's a lot of fat to trim per se, but, you know, every comp, every little thing that we look at, you know, for the festival, I'm going to look at. And really have a conversation with that person or the people who want that position and find out, okay, who wants it? Who wants it bad? Who'd do it for free? You know, I'm looking for a team of passionate jugglers and organizers who would do it for free, which essentially is the EJC model, which is the BJC model, which is the IJC model. And those are the four biggest fests on the planet, baby. They're kicking our ass. And they do it for free, all of them. Right? That's what I'm going for. I know I'm not going to get there because that's not our history. But that is certainly one of my guiding principles.
Well, Matt, actually, you know...
And there were crickets, and a chill filled the room.
No. Prior to Mike, I mean, Mike was our, as far as I know, since I've been around, is the first person to get paid as fest director.
And she got paid every year, of course.
What was that?
Ginny Rose.
Well, yeah, Ginny. Besides Ginny, I mean, since we've gone to the volunteer model,
right.
Ginny got paid, but so since 2000, starting 2004, it's been volunteer fest director. So up until last year.
Well,
but,
that's not
only
talking about festival director. I'm talking about any position. Like,
yep.
The guy who runs workshops at EJC pays to get into the EJC. I ran workshops for 3 years. I didn't pay squat.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I don't want to have, like, a palace revolt. I don't want to piss off our long-term volunteers who have devoted their time and given a lot and sacrificed. But I certainly want to have that conversation. I think that's a conversation we need to have. You know, and I'm going to challenge people to go past what they're comfortable with.
Sounds good.
Sounds
good. Okay. I don't know about that. We'll find out. We'll find out. But like I said, I'm open to having the conversation, and I'm not wedded to one particular answer. Each person's going to have maybe a slightly idiosyncratic, different answer that works for them. That's fine. But last time I checked, we don't have any money.
Right.
That's a fact.
Yep.
You know, but we still want to have this great fest. Well, everybody's going to have to, you know, do something. You know, and if I get 5,000 or I get nothing, you know, I'm still going to do it and give it everything I got.
Amen, brother.
Sounds awesome, Matt. And you know, we're here behind you.
I know.
And in front of you and beside you, and we're
supposed to be. Don't worry about it. We're all going to earn our respective places at this festival. So that's that. And, you know, we'll start talking about advertising and, you know, different positions, you know, workshops and all that. Len Furman's already on juggling, blah, blah, blah. So there you go.
I did really quick want to just remind you one other thing for consideration in Cascade of Stars. Our winner of the IRC in Mexico, Fernanda.
I haven't forgotten her.
The goal is to either get her up to compete, which if she makes it in, that's great. If not, then it's to perform in Cascade of Stars was kind of the agreement. We did get a donation of frequent flyer miles to fly her in, which is awesome. We have to come up with the remaining taxes, which will be about $100 to pay for that flight. And then, again, a comp, ideally, because we're bringing her into the festival.
No, she's over and above what I've been considering for Cascade Stars. I haven't forgotten her. I mean,
I just want to remind you that and tell you that we do have her flight covered, just so you know.
Dan Holtzman.
Because originally we were going to ask to have the fund money go towards that, but we have a donor instead, so it's good.
And that's gravy. Dan Holtzman's also agreed to give up flights based on his frequent flyer miles. I'm going to talk to the passing zone so I can get out of them as well.
Yeah, they're great to ask as well, yep.
Matt, the taxes for the IRC winner to come in, I'll cover them.
Thanks, Kim.
My donation.
Thanks, Kim.
There we go.
Just let me know closer to the time what the taxes actually come to, and I'll make sure to get a check out.
All right.
We'll do.
Maybe I'll have Will Murray see if he's got some cash.
Cool.
And Anthony is the one who's donating, too, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So let's say, anybody who comes forward and says, hey, how can I help with the Fest? You can talk to them, obviously. I don't care who talks to who or who gets the credit, but send them to me or copy me on it so I know what we got coming in.
All right, anything more? Sorry about that, Matt. Anything more?
No.
Okay.
That's more than enough.
Excellent. Thank you. I actually have not heard from Holly about financials, but nothing much has changed there. She did make the move of the $20,000 after our last meeting, so that was taken care of. For right now, we're still paying our bills on time and we'll be all right for a little bit. But I don't have exact financial figures from her. Anything from website team? Mike or Martin, are you still here?
Martin, did you get my last two emails about scheduling the conferences?
Yeah, I did. I don't have a lot of time. And I'm trying to figure out if I should even be involved. I sort of would like to be listening in. I'll try to get back to you on that.
All right. Well,
Mike, I would like to be the board, I guess, rep on the committee just because, it's...
Okay. All right. I'd like to move ahead with having David Landown, myself, and you, Aaron, have telephone conferences with the consultant over the next couple of weeks and get started.
Great. Yeah, shoot me.
So if you can send me your availability for about a one-hour conference or a one-hour phone call, doesn't have to be a conference call, generally for the next week or so, I can let him know and he can get in touch with you.
Wait, say that again? Email you my availability?
Yeah, for a telephone call from the...
Is he going to talk with all of us or individually?
No, he'll talk to you one-on-one and then the others of us as well.
Okay. So we're up to the phone meeting about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions about website team? If not, we'll move on to membership. Marilyn did send the numbers. Marilyn, are you still on the line?
I think she dropped on.
That's okay. Number of records presently, and Brandy, I'll forward these to you. 1,259 records, 1,504 members. Of that, 177 are families, 80 youths, and 280 life members. Okay, so that's our count as of now. Kevin or Aaron, anything on education?
Yeah. We haven't had a meeting recently. We thought we were going to have one last night, but it was...
I forgot.
I don't think I actually told you, Kim. that was my bad. So, updates that we do have, we now have 4 active, and I'm guessing, Kim, you have one starting up, too. I haven't heard from you recently.
We've got the one in Lehighton, and actually I'm starting at my school now. The principal asked me to do a once-a-month thing, so yeah.
Sweet.
And hang out a little bit more.
Dave Pawson has a great group going on at his daughter's school. Richard Kennison has 2 different programs happening, one at a circus school and one through an elementary school. Becca and Warren in Boulder have a unicycle group, a circus group, and a juggling group that they're all doing through the name of YEP, which is fantastic, and they're getting huge response from it up in Boulder. And I have two groups happening here in Durango. So it's looking really fabulous, lots of excitement about it. Jen Slaw also has two programs. We're looking to partner with Juggling Life. We had announced that we'd partnered with them, but then realized their board hadn't actually agreed to it, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm on a board. I should have realized that vote has to happen. So they're going to vote on that soon. And by partnering with Juggling Life, what that would look like is, because Jen Slaw is a YEP rep and is also the executive director of Juggling Life, they would kind of be an affiliate where we would help support them. They would help support us. We would have mutual advertising for each other and support for each other, things like that. So that's exciting. And she's also been approached by a girls' school in New York to start a program. So lots of good stuff going on.
Cool. Yay. Hey, Aaron, it's Kevin. Just a thought on all of that. Maybe we should have a more defined affiliate program. I mean, imagine if the Jugheads became...
Totally. It's something I was going to propose at our meeting. I love the idea.
Awesome.
Because I think essentially that would be,
it would be way easier to get it out there, and if it's really beneficial, you know...
And ideally, one person of that affiliate would still be a YEP rep and go through the certification, or, you know, lead the certification in the case of Paul. But, yeah, I think it's a great concept.
Okay, cool. Any questions about education? If not, Tom isn't here for marketing and promotions.
I do have something he asked me to talk about.
Go ahead. Yep, I remember that now.
Okay. And I'm going to look at his email to remind myself what it is I'm supposed to talk about. just in regards to the video tutorial contest, one thing we've been talking about is just how to build the YouTube presence of IJA. I was just looking at the numbers of people subscribed to it, and it's like 415 or something, which seems pretty low. And just, you know, ways we could do more ongoing video publicity. And so one thing we're talking about with the video tutorial contest is, instead of each person posting the tutorial, posting it to their page, having them submit it to the IJA, and we would actually post it to our page. And Tom's idea behind that was also seeing if they would, you know, or having an agreement where they would kind of sign over the rights of that video, and then we could use it to create tutorial DVDs that we could sell, just as a way to make it more profitable, or distribute to YEP programs or whatever. But, so that's kind of the discussion we've been having. It's nothing solid at this point. But just once again, I'd love to hear any thoughts you guys have on that.
I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's a perfectly reasonable accommodation given that we give out prizes.
Right.
I mean, there's logistics of having people deliver to you large videos, but beyond that, it makes sense.
Okay. There's also, I know another thing Tom brought up in the email was the issue of copyright legalities and stuff like that, as far as making DVDs of songs that we don't have rights to.
Yeah.
So that would be either making sure that the music was royalty-free or having to change the music or something like that. But that's another piece that would have to be addressed.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to throw this in, but believe it or not, a year later, after I first mentioned it at our first meeting way back in Sparks, I confirmed with Dave Finnegan that his legal wranglings are done, and he has the rights to Our Skills Unlimited, the six-pack of DVDs that were created by him and Dorothy and me in 2006. So I want to move forward and talk to Jayco and Ivan and see if we can get that footage. You know, we don't have the master footage that was originally filmed in Quebec or in Montreal, but we do have one of the master DVDs that can be, you know, re-ripped, or what is the term for pulling off?
The technical term.
You know, I'm talking the VOV files, basically the VOV files. Blah blah blah. We can take those and make YouTube videos out of them.
Yeah. Awesome.
Just for jollies.
So making DVDs that we'd sell, because I know we talked about that.
No.
For putting it.
No, not Not for sale, just literally offering them free on the IJA YouTube channel.
Page. Perfect. Yeah, that's what I thought.
We're talking hundreds of tutorials.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Once a week, once every other week, whatever. You know?
Dude, you could put out one a day for like a year or two, because that's awesome. Yeah. And there's 6 DVDs.
That's brilliant.
Oh, super sick. Super, super sick. Good.
You know, and
yay.
Repeat Dorothy with long hair, you know, you did all of
them. What about long hair?
It was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. That's how long this drama has played out.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
Okay. Well, then I will talk to Jacob and Ivan and figure out what the deal is.
Yeah. Sounds good. All right. Anything else for reports? I had one more. Go ahead. Sorry, I forgot to add it earlier. For just the IRC update, just to let you guys know, we have officially received an invite to go back to Barullo next year for a second year. What's that?
I'm just quivering with joy.
Oh, good.
I'm not saying I'm going again.
I know, but just the fact that it's going to happen is pretty
that's
exciting.
That's awesome. That's
yeah,
pretty,
and they...
Warn everybody. Whoever goes, get ready.
They just started saying it was an amazing experience. They don't know where it's going to be yet, but hopefully not in a dirt field.
Yeah.
Y'all will read my magazine review soon. But
whoever goes, bring wet naps.
Anyhow, so they do want to do a second one. I don't know if I talked about this before, but I have talked to Marco Paletti about working with me to organize 1 to 2 other IRCs in potentially Argentina or Chile and Brazil for sure in 2012, and this would be fall of 2012. Right now I'm looking at trying to find the contact information for the people at those festivals. I also got in touch with K8. This was something Tom and I just had a thought of, and I just wrote them a brief email to see if they would be at all interested in sponsoring an IRC in any way, being it prize money, being it helping, because they do have to fly an IJA representative as well, being it to help fly that person in, whatever it is, even props as part of the prize, and they are excited to do so. So that's really exciting. We haven't discussed any details at that point, and I, of course, will present a proposal before making any decisions on that. But just wanted to let you guys know.
Awesome.
Yay. Good stuff going on. I like it. Any questions for Aaron? Okay. If not, we'll move into our motions for consideration. And I have a feeling this first one may end up tabled again because of Tom not being here, and I know he didn't get a chance to work on this. Motion to approve development of a plan to provide new membership benefit of vendors' coupons with each new membership. Present members would also receive this coupon packet one time upon renewal of their membership.
So can I ask a general question?
Sure.
In my limited time attending these, it seems like we have an awful lot of motions that by the time we get into the meeting, people aren't really sure what to make of them, and so we just table them. Is there some process we should follow or aren't following or something that would make us better equipped to act on these things by the time they're motioned?
Well, we should actually be doing more discussion either on the board forum or through email, preferably on the board
before
forum,
they
so we have records.
Motions, I would think.
Yeah. But this is something we've been talking about since before the fest even. The holdup here isn't even with the board at this point. It's Tom and I have agreed that we really want to talk with all of the vendors before we actually do this. So maybe we just want this motion to die at this point and bring it back once all of the other discussion with the vendors have taken place.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking in general is, like, by the time something becomes a motion on the agenda, we should know that we had whatever discussions we needed to have beforehand.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back to it.
Well, and as I said, this has been since before July. This was first brought up back in May or June that it became a motion. So it's been on here a while. So if no one makes a motion for this tonight, it will die until Tom brings it back up.
Which is not very difficult, so I think we should just kind of let it.
Let's not make a motion.
Okay. So the motion dies, if everyone is all right with that. Hearing no motion, it dies. There you go. And that's part of the reason why I send out the agenda in advance, so that we can have discussion on it. But we've all been that busy with our own lives that it's been tough to get discussion going. But that's okay. I understand that. So motion A has died. Motion B concerns the award, the magazine bid. If we want to discuss this, we need a motion.
I so move.
Okay. We need a second, please.
I'll second it.
Okay. And discussion.
It sounds like,
go ahead.
We need to discuss it.
We definitely do, and I'm not sure where to actually go with this discussion, honestly. The financial situation we're in now, we actually can't afford any of the bids. Only two of them are actually viable bids, Alan's and Catherine's.
Yeah, the question I kept coming back to as I was thinking about this amount is, how well do we understand our current liabilities or obligations? I mean, presumably people who've paid for memberships, we have to give them something, I would guess.
Right. It's actually in the bylaws. And I'm getting those up on my computer right now. But according to the bylaws, we are supposed to give them something. Why isn't this term behaving itself?
I think we discussed it before and we realized the newsletter could suffice for that.
Yeah, but I...
Look,
yeah, the newsletter could.
It had sounded like we're ready to do a final contract or some form of last hurrah so we didn't just rip the bandage. Can we go back to them and request use thing, like only less issues or something like that? I don't think we should continue Juggle Magazine. If anything, okay, do a last run.
What is that really loud clicking noise?
Excuse me, somebody's got some really bad interference on their end.
Yeah.
Sounds like something hitting something else.
Yeah, it's hard to hear what people are saying.
Okay.
Better.
All right, seems to have stopped. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
No worries. I think given the financial situation, we're not ready to pick the contract. I think that the festival does take kind of a priority, financially speaking, over the magazine, and I think that the magazine is on its last legs. And my thought was that we go back to our bidders and ask for a reduced number. What were they bidding on, eight copies or four copies?
Four
copies. That is to be reduced already.
It was originally six.
And before that it was 12, right?
Long time.
It's been six ever since I've been an IJA member, and that's 1999.
Oh.
Okay, I'm just going to lay down my thought. Give Alan Howard the last Juggle Magazine contract as both a way to it off and let there be some kind of closure, but also to acknowledge and give credence to what he's done for, Juggle Magazine. Doing so, he might be willing to even drop a discount rate. I don't know. Just a thought. I don't think we can put out a full contract.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously don't like any of this, much like I don't like us having no money. And
Yeah.
I mean, to be brutally frank, when we look at it and say we would be in a much stronger financial position if we stopped the magazine and every single member
quit,
didn't renew.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of sobering. And that's what leads me to ask kind of ugly, unfortunate questions, like what are we really obligated to do in terms of magazine? Because if the answer is nothing or just the newsletter we're already doing, then as much as I don't like that answer, it seems like something we have to pretty seriously consider.
Well, here is what is officially
considering other options.
Yeah, here's what's officially in the bylaws. This is Article 7 of the bylaws, which is called official publication. The corporation shall publish official publication for its members. Such publication shall be published quarterly during the calendar year, subject to such increase or decrease as the board of directors may determine. The annual roster shall be an international directory of members of the corporation, which shall be published by the corporation once during the calendar year, which, you know, the annual roster is separate, of course, from our official publication. I have no problem contacting Alan and Catherine, since they were the two complete bids, and asking them, you know, to give us a bid on just two issues a year, and then filling in with the newsletter, possibly a beefed up version of it, or as some people have said on Rec, you know, doing more of a blog type thing.
Which is something we've been talking about for the new website anyhow. So that's
right.
It's a really great concept, and
yeah. It would all definitely work. So if the rest of the board wants me to go and ask them for a two-issue bid rather than a four-issue bid that they've put in.
Could we look at, because I was looking at the bids and it looks like they say per issue. So it basically says you could cut the bid they have right now in two and it would be the amount.
It could be, and it couldn't be. It was odd last time when we negotiated with Alan, not last time, but when we initially went from six issues down to four, we thought it would be like a 30% discount of what he had quoted us, and it actually wasn't. It was like an 18% drop in the cost.
That's hilarious.
There's a lot of feedback still.
Yeah, a lot of background noise.
Background sound. I don't know if somebody's on mute, but...
Yeah. I think they have the wrong end muted. That's okay. All right.
Is that me? I mean, it could be me, because I'm using a headphone with arm mic, and it's loose. It keeps shifting.
That could be it. That's okay.
I'm at present gaffer taping it into position.
Gaffer
taping it.
So this is Richard. I have a couple questions.
Yep.
So would membership dues stay the same?
They would. In our present financial situation, I honestly can't see us lowering dues. That's just my take on things. It's costing us for our bookkeeper right now, which in my personal opinion, we can't do without a bookkeeper.
Yep.
We've tried doing that position on a volunteer basis, and it took us almost 5 years to get the books in order because they were in horrendous shape. So I don't see us getting rid of that. You know, and $10,000 for someone to keep books is, I don't even think we're actually at $10,000, but it's set for a 12-month time period. That is a good deal from what we've looked into before.
I want to put this out there. What about something like a button or a sticker or some kind of like little packet where they get, you know, the juggler button, a sticker, and a water bottle, or any number of variations on that idea?
Love it. Some kind of little package that they get when they become something.
Yeah, we further our web development. We get rid of the magazine, but we still give them something. You know, I'm a juggler for life. I want a button that says it.
Yeah.
And people won't pay for a magazine that costs $35, but they're going to pay for a button that costs
$35? It's not a button that costs, you know, it's not even necessarily a button. It could be so many things.
Maybe a really big button.
Shit. It's a matter of how long. We're just saying how long. If anything, we should give Alan the last contract. If it's two, if it's four, whatever. Sorry. Okay, I got a little personal there. I'm done.
Yeah.
I know you guys know that me and Tom have been working on this whole SWOT analysis and strategic plan, basically. One thing that came up in researching grants and talking to Joyce Axtell about grant writing and how the IJA could bring that in to be a more substantial funding piece is specific grants, and I'm looking at my notebook to try to see what they're called. But basically what they do is they cover funding for any, you know, like for executive director positions, for staffing positions, basically. And they're grants that you can apply for specifically to pay for staffing positions. So that's one thought, too, to look at how we can cover our current, like, you know, Holly, for example, how we can cover her
now,
in a different
technically,
way.
Holly and currently Alan with the magazine are not considered their positions aren't considered paid staff. They're considered being outsourced. They're private vendors. Yeah, they're contractors.
Contractors.
So would that still
so
fall under that?
Applies or not? I'm not sure. And they're called capacity building grants. So it's the capacity of the organization the bookkeeper would fall under. But, yeah, I'm not sure how that would work as far as contractors go. So I can talk to Joyce about that.
I mean, honestly, it wouldn't take much what their position is.
What's that?
It wouldn't take much to change what their position is on paper, if that would help us in any way. Because even for a 501c3, you're allowed a certain number of paid employees, so to speak. So, it doesn't put it at risk. So we could do that.
If we were able to find funding from a different source, I think it would be super amazing to lower the membership fee. And I know some people on REC were even proposing not having the membership be a piece of it, which I know we don't want to go there quite yet, but at least lowering it without the magazine, because I think that is a huge reason why people who aren't going to the festival are paying, is the magazine. So, you know, and also just really beefing up our publicity of the programs that are being supported by becoming a member, and enhancing those more with our new website design and everything. But
and I know this is kind of an adjunct topic, but you brought up the membership fee and you know, possibly lowering, and that there's been talk about getting rid of it. My membership fee for the IJA is the lowest membership fee of any organization I pay for and that I've been able to find on the Internet for an actual group like ours. Puppeteers of America are paying $75 a year for their membership fee. Even for the National Council of Teachers of English that I belong to, that just went up to $85 a year. And I get two newsletters in a year,
right?
Just on paper.
Right.
So, you know,
really what we need to do is beef up our positive publicity more than anything.
Yeah, I think that's
why it's a beneficial organization to support as a member and to be a member of, mm-hmm. whether it's and not membership benefits for the self, but more for the whole of the community.
Right.
And I think the more we can, the International Jugglers Association is really supporting the growth and the development of the international community, the more people are going to want to support that. But I think the hard thing is when it comes to college kids, hippies, and high schoolers, but actually high schoolers usually have a lot of money for their parents.
I was going to say, the high schoolers I know, they, when they want to, they find the money.
Exactly. High schoolers usually aren't a problem when it comes to money. I should say that. But college kids and hippies.
It's usually the ones fresh out of college more so than anything, from my experience here on the East Coast. So, you know, it's just, and even so, you know, maybe that's what we need to look at. Right now, our youth at the ends at age 17. You turn 18 and it goes up, you know, to the, what, $40 a month that we're spending.
A year.
Maybe we should look at extending that fee up
college
to 2021.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we can, but again, that's maybe a different conversation altogether.
Yeah. Later, but
they're all interconnected, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
So
they're getting for their dues.
Yeah. Let's get back to the motion about the magazine bid. What do we want to do? Do we want to take this back to Catherine and Alan and ask them for a two-issue bid and then kind of look at things again from there?
Be more specific when you say two-issue bid. Are you talking about two issues per year?
Two issues per year.
For how many years?
What's the feeling of the board?
Honestly, can you guys hear me? Sorry, the offending mic has been put in place. So, I was curious about what's the bid for one last issue ever.
Mm.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Because any money that comes into this organization at this point, guess where I want it to go? The festival.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be explicit.
Yeah, I can't imagine getting into a contract that would last more than a year on a paper magazine at this point.
I don't want to. I won't go for that.
I think we should. If we do, I think we should do one last magazine. I think we should only ask Alan Howard for the bid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, I don't think we could responsibly agree to any of the contracts we have on the table now.
Yeah,
and it should be clear to somebody like Alan to say, look, we're not trying to go cheap on you. You know the deal here. You know where we're at financially.
Yeah.
Maybe ask for a one and a two final magazine bid.
I can ask for a few different scenarios. If you guys just want to go with Alan, that's, I support that 100%.
And then we've got the juggle name under Alan. We don't have it without him, and he's been doing it for years.
Right.
Good. Why do a last...
Could go out with a big bang with.
What I will ask him for is a one final issue bid, and I will also ask him, not saying that the board's going to agree to this, but I will ask him to do something where it would be two issues for the next 12 months and then one final ending issue, sort of to phase it out, just so we have a couple different ideas on the board when we look at this again.
Sounds good.
And I think in saying that we're going to go to one, potentially just do one final one or whatever it is, really looking at how the website's not done yet, so how can we really buff up the internet presence ASAP?
Right.
The newsletter, how can we beef that up? Like, can we get bids from to do the newsletter, things like that, and really get a good newsletter. And, I mean, the newsletter right now is great, but, more focusing on, like, a flashy, almost magazine-ish e-zine thing, but without going that far.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I'm thinking, two magazines over the next year would give us enough time to really get that internet presence going and polished. I also don't want to send any of the members into, shock that They got four magazines this year, and now they're getting one, and that's it.
Right.
But that could be a good thing, too. I can see it both ways.
Main thing
my
is
question,
if you actually have the money to pay for it this year for two.
Right.
I know.
If we at least get the bid in both ways, just one final issue or two issues over the next year followed by one final issue, if we have a couple different options to look at, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean we're going to vote for either of them, actually, but
right.
At least it gives us something to look at and some options. Now, my question to the board is, would that final issue be a larger than normal issue, or would it just be the standard 48 pages? Because I know Alan's going to ask me that.
Vote for both.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, I guess we need to bid on both, because the thing is, if we don't, I mean, as it stands now, we don't necessarily have the money for any of it. So if we say, well, we're going to do one more, but it's going to be more expensive,
right.
It may not help any.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. I will call him tomorrow. I will talk with Alan. Are we all in agreement that Catherine's offer is off the table for us?
I really loved her proposal. I read over it in detail today. It was a fantastic proposal. I was sad to just realize we don't have the funds to do it.
Okay.
So.
And that's, you know, that is the truth of it, that we just don't have the funds. And
I think it would be a whole different discussion right now if we had funding. But
yeah. Alan Howard has been with us since the start of Juggle. He's been working on the magazine, even with Stan Allen with Stage Right. So I think we kind of owe it to him a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'd echo Aaron's sentiments that I think all of this is just an even bigger sign that we really need to redouble our efforts on whatever our online solution is going to be, because I could totally see it coming down to Alan says, oh, yeah, okay, well, I could do that one 10% cheaper. And if he says that, I think we're still in a position of we just can't do that. And I don't want to get into that position, the ugly place I went to of, yeah, we just can't do anything, because that won't work out well for anybody. If we end up having to go there, we need to kind of have our ducks in the row of what we're going to do going forward. That'll be a more attractive option.
And that's something that this strategic plan that I've been focusing on a lot is the internet aspect, and that's something I think, again, we didn't get the meeting this last month, but I'd like to have a meeting before our next board meeting with the board members to really hash out that strategic plan, so I'll be emailing it out within the next week. But anyhow, we can go into a lot of detail with that for what our internet plan is.
And I think Alan has, being not only the editor, publisher of our magazine, but also being an IJA member, he's well aware of where we are. And I think if I approach, you know, the finances of it, the reality of it all at this point, that he'll understand, because he did give us a very, very comprehensive bid, you know, electronic magazine and all is part of it. So.
True.
And tell him, you know, we all agree that it was the only appropriate.
Certainly isn't running a concession stand in our Stanford parking.
Yeah, there wasn't a concession stand for that. I think what he's talking about.
We've heard the Guns Robotics team operates a concession stand.
Matt,
we can hear everything going on.
We can hear you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. About guns and a concession stand.
Sorry, I'm asking Lisa about something ASB. I can start out if you wish.
No,
no problem. It's just
sound like we
didn't want. I got
150 emails today, guys. Got to do what I got to do.
No worries.
Not a problem.
150 today, by the way. 150 today.
Okay, so I'm going to Alan tomorrow. I will also call Catherine and let her know the situation and that her bid is off the table for us. As far as this motion goes, however, is it being tabled once again?
I think this motion sounds like it's being dropped.
Okay.
Well, until we get a bid.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm open to other thoughts. That's just what I
Well, then, since this motion was already made and seconded and in discussion, we need a motion to drop this, to drop the current motion.
I'll make that motion to drop this current motion.
Okay. We need a second, please.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion on dropping this? Hearing none. Anyone opposed to dropping the magazine bid motion? Any abstentions? Okay, that motion is currently dropped.
Can I just, I still
yep,
want
go
a
ahead.
Discussion piece. In regards to Catherine's proposal, one piece I did really appreciate was her concept of bringing in an internet piece. And that would be, I don't know if everyone's read that section thoroughly, but it would be a good thing for everyone to read as we do move forward. It talked about blogging. It talked about having our special guests being bloggers about their experience at the IJA, things like that. Also, it talks about doing publicity of the special guests that are coming in. Obviously, Matt, I think you'll be all over this, but photos, videos, bios, and all that stuff to really build knowledge of the festival as it's coming up. So she had a lot of good ideas there as well. And she's a graphic designer. It would be interesting to see if she'd be willing to help out in any way with other things in the future. Sounds like she's done a lot of work.
Okay. Goodbye. Cool. Okay, we're moving on to Motion C then. The motion to approve the agreement between Matt Hall and the IJA. I have already modified this to pay him $5,000 stipend for his duties as Fest Director for 2012. Matt is,
I'll make that motion.
Okay. And I did also specify, Matt, just for your clarification, that you asked for the additional $4,000 that you originally asked for to go to performers. Is that okay?
That's okay. And we need to amend it also to say that the $5,000 is contingent upon a solvent festival.
Okay. Okay.
To be honest, I mean, I made all this, this grandiose, noises about EJC and BJC and IJC and the spirit of that. But if I was really, I guess, serious about it, then I would literally just say, don't pay me a single thing.
Well.
So for a fair disclosure, that needs to be said.
Right. Okay, so the motion will now read, motion to approve agreement between Matt Hall and the IJA to pay him a $5,000 stipend for his duties as Fest Director for 2012. Matt has only asked for this flat fee with no profit sharing after Fest expenses are in and totaled. It is contingent upon a solvent Fest. Originally asked for $9,000, but asked the additional $4,000 to go to performers. Kevin Axtell, I thought I heard you make this motion before.
Correct. I will so amend. I move to so amend.
Okay. And do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
I think, Matt, I appreciate the concepts, and I do think getting paid is going to help you be more justified in giving enough time to really make it, the festival that you want it to be. I think you absolutely be a really strong festival director, should be paid, so I just want to put that out there.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll see what we'll see.
Matt, excited to see what happens.
Yeah. I have a lot of ideas, and once we get started, we'll I'll of course be putting them to you. I'll probably start a thread on the board forum so I can get your feedback and guidance.
All right. Any other discussion? I'm excited, Matt. All right, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions?
I abstain. Matt Hall.
Matt Hall is abstained. The motion passes.
Woo! Yay!
Correct.
Right. Now this was, and let the fun begin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kim, and everybody needs to hear this.
Michael has already helped me a great deal. Kim has helped me as much, if not more. So, I want to publicly thank you for so far your help, and I'm, of course, I'm going to need a lot more as we go along, but thank you.
I'm right there with you. You know that.
Yeah, I know. We'll get it done.
Yep. All right. I know this wasn't on here on the agenda, but Mike, are you still in on the call? He may have dropped out. I know he had in his email to all of us about possibly making a decision for 2013. Is anyone on the board ready to make that decision this month, or shall we hold off?
It sounded like he was going to still look for more proposals.
We were hopeful on Ohio, but he just came back and said that's a no-go.
Yeah.
In Iowa?
For Des Moines.
Yeah. That's
Des Moines. So do you want to hold off until next month and really have some good discussion on it online?
So he was only going to be looking for proposals. Well, I mean, it would make sense at this point for him to only look for proposals for 2014, I'm guessing, with all those colleges he was talking about.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, because I had asked, are you going to be looking for 2013 too? And it sounded like he had said yes, but I could have misunderstood it.
Maybe that's a good reason to wait until October's meeting. We'll clarify with him and see if there's another possibility in the batch and come to a decision in October. We will still be far enough out. So, if that's
I don't get the impression that he's going to have a lot of earth-shattering new information for us to make our decision, but it's a big enough decision that if we can afford to wait a month, we should just commit to really having that discussion properly and settle it next time.
Yeah, yeah, and I would like Tom to be present for it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
I move to table the motion.
It wasn't a motion.
It wasn't a motion, so you don't need the table.
Oh. It's Kim. A long meeting.
Down, Kevin.
Hey, premature table, Mr. Axel.
I did want to bring up, I know you had talked about a fall fundraiser, and we were supposed to discuss that at the same time as well. I just wanted to bring that up.
I have not had a chance to get the materials that were used last time from Sandy Brown and the crew that she worked with. And that's my fault. The beginning of the school year has just been nuts. As Matt, I'm sure you know.
Don't even speak.
No. I'm trying not to. It's been nuts. So. I will get in touch with Sandy and get materials together and send them to the rest of the board members to look at before we move on that. And we can just approve that at the October meeting. And I'll have everything ready to go so that if it's approved at the October meeting, the very next day I'll start getting stuff out. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
All right. Anything else for Varia tonight?
So last time around, we had the discussion of who's going to be the treasurer.
Yes.
I had explored people to try to think of people who might be good candidates. Did anyone else even come up with a name to consider?
Kevin McBeth.
Good
luck with that.
I almost was going to throw it on to rec juggling today because there were so many people talking about volunteering. It's going to be like, hey, speaking of volunteers, we're looking for a treasurer. Anyone up for it?
And I have to apologize. I don't remember if I got that into August newsletter or not, but I am going to send Don an email right now that it needs to be in the September newsletter.
We'll
throw it out there. Okay.
All right. It sounds like you guys are willing to do this, in which case I'll say, okay, if we haven't found somebody by the next meeting, then I'll give in and say fine.
Oh,
I'll just do it.
Hey, I'm bowing as we speak. I'm on my knees.
Right. And I am too. But, Dave, I'd really like to see you do something that you're passionate about.
Likewise.
Workshop.
So let's all put our noses to the grindstone and try and find someone who can do this and is willing to do it and would be awesome at it. So.
Is that something I could post on Rag Juggling? Are people,
why not?
I mean, I just feel like the discussion of volunteerism is hot right now.
Yeah, it does. And
never know what might come out of it.
There's actually been some decent discussion going on there.
Yeah, yeah, it's been good.
Instead of us getting flamed.
Just a little bit here and there, but you know. But there's been a lot of good, positive stuff as well.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
Right, and I think, being frank about it, I think that there's enough sort of cynicism and skepticism about how we handle our finances that it makes sense to say, well, if you're out there and that's how you feel about it, you have a golden opportunity to have very good insight into the finances.
Right, and I was going to post it right after your post, Dave, about, you know, unless you're willing to do something about it.
Yeah.
So that's where that post is going to go.
May not go the way you like, yeah.
I don't know any of this. I literally haven't looked at rec.juggling in 6 weeks.
Woo! Good work.
I need to. I know. Actually, I hear it positively Pacific in terms of its calmness and.
Oh wow! It's really bizarre.
Absence of a certain influence. If you get my drift.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually been productive discussion.
Crazy fucking waves, Matt.
I know, dude. The minute I stick my toe back in the pool, I'm dead. No, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I dipped mine in, and it's, knock on wood, been okay so far.
Knock on
wood. Oh, don't rush the judgment on that.
I know.
I know.
I knocked on wood. But we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get an email out to Don and make sure that's in the September newsletter. And, Aaron, if you want to post that up, that's fine. I'll also put it on the IJA website. So
I could put it on Facebook, too.
Yeah, please do.
Yep.
Okay.
Which, hey, Facebook just got 104 likes on a post. That's the record, just so you know. Still doesn't
104 likes?
Still doesn't beat Matt Hall. Yeah, I just posted one day, like this if you've juggled today.
Oh, okay, good deal. You said it what didn't beat mine? What?
That's what I said. I thought probably didn't beat Matt Hall's highest, but you know, pretty good.
We did an odd thing for Rob's cousin who plays on NC State. We formed a Facebook page for him, and we offered for the 79th like person to like it because his number 79, a jar of hot sauce, a picture with the Kilbo carrier, which is a cooler that we have specially nicknamed because we carry kibasi to them in it. And I forget, a handful of Swedish fish. And you would not believe how people were killing each other to be that 79th person.
Trying to do the perfect timing.
Yeah.
That would be a cool thing to do on Facebook.
I was going to say, that might be something we want to consider on our Facebook, just to...
You get an IJA button. Hey.
Yeah. And a handful of Swedish fish. But you just do it silly, and sometimes it works. But... All right. Any other varia for tonight? If not, the third Wednesday in October is October 19th. Is that bad for anybody?
October 19th?
Yeah.
Yeah, checking.
Checking.
That looks doable.
Oh.
Good.
Okay. So we'll make... Kevin, you guys all right with October 19th?
Yep, we're good.
Okay, so October 19th. Do you guys want to keep it at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Western time?
Yes, please. I've still barely made it on time, so that would be...
Okay. All right.
Sounds good.
Not a problem. All right. So our next meeting, October 19th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We need a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
And a second, please.
Second, Aaron.
Yay. Anyone opposed? Abstentions? The meeting is adjourned at 10:20 p.m. Eastern Time.
Non-business, are any of you jokers going to the Portland Festival?
No.
Negatory.
You afraid?
No, they can't handle me.
Oh, I see how it is. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, what's juggling?
For the St. Louis Festival, October 23rd.
What is it?
You know, I actually may be there.
St. Louis Festival.
Kansas is coming up soon, too.
And Patrick Emmerich will be there.
Nice.
Well, and anyone willing to come out to the East Coast, I'm planning a fest in March. I'm just waiting for school approval, but it should be March, the first weekend in March. So anyone who...
Oh, and are you still working on our little mini festival concept? That was the other thing I
yes.
didn't ask, but
yes.
Okay. More later.
Yeah. I have to call her. We've been playing phone tag. Matt, I just want to check with you. When might be a good time to give you a call and talk over fest stuff after I talk with them?
Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. I will do that. I'll
just
send you
a probably in the morning, more morning, say like 1 o'clock your time, 10 o'clock my time.
Okay.
Cool.
Let's shoot for Sunday, if that's all right.
All right. Yeah, let's
okay,
do it.
Cool. All right, gang.
And
thanks, guys.
Kevin and Kim, can I talk to you really quick?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Take care,
all
guys.
Right. Okay. Thanks,
guys.
See you, Dave.
Later.
See you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Kevin Kim, can we do a VAP meeting next week, maybe? Sorry, Kevin.
That's all right. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
That's Tuesday, 27th, right? Yeah, I should be okay for a somewhat short meeting.
We could say 6 o'clock my time, which is 8 o'clock your time.
Yeah, that'll work.
Which is 7 o'clock, Kevin, 5 o'clock Kevin's time.
5 o'clock.
Okay, and Kim, can you call us both again?
Yes, I will.
Perfecto. Yay. All right. Talk to you next week then, guys.
Cool. All right,
okay.
Thanks a lot.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.